Welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is Application Editioning and WebSphere Application Server 8.5. Today's presenters are Chris Hutcherson and Robert Outlaw. Chris is a member of the WebSphere Application Server Intelligent Management L2 support team. Robert is the technical lead for the WebSphere Application Server Intelligent Management support team. He has over a decade of experience in development and support of WebSphere technologies. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Robert. You may begin.
Thank you. This is Robert. Let's go ahead and move to our agenda for today's presentation. So we have three high-level points. I'm going to give an overview with some detailed commentary about the application editioning component that we've added that's brand new in WebSphere 8.5 and was previously existing in WebSphere Virtual Enterprise. I'll go over some of the concepts and terminology and features and usage. Chris, at that point, Hutcherson, my colleague, will then run us through some common deployment scenarios that we've seen customers work with successfully over the years supporting this component, and kind of run through those. And then finally, we'll have a brief troubleshooting point where we'll discuss some of the gotchas that can definitely happen and what steps you can take to investigate problems with application editioning on your own. And if you do need to come to IBM for additional assistance, what kind of documentation and what kind of information you can have beforehand that will help us resolve your PMRs faster. Okay, let's move on to the next slide, slide number 3. So what is an application edition? Application editioning describes the usage of two different deployments of the same application. So I don't want to overload terms here because the way that we use things like versions and editions and even deployments is so fuzzy and it's very dependent upon company to company and the terminology that you use. So I'm going to kind of get the verbiage out here in advance and try to stay consistent for the rest of the presentation. So when we describe a deployment, what I'm referring to is when you actually take an enterprise application and deploy it into WebSphere using either the admin console or WS admin scripting. That is what I mean by a deployment. Now, that deployment may be a new version of the application, and by version I mean you have an application that you are working with, and that the new application would have changed elements. You might change some JSPs. You might change some EJB jars. Whatever. The point is that you are making revisions to the application that you want to test, and you're doing this update. So that's what I mean by a new version of an application. An addition, however, is an internally used term for WebSphere. Additions have a very, very special designation in WebSphere, and we store addition information in addition state for each deployment. Even deployments where you don't specify an addition to, those still have an addition value to them set internally as well that we use for tracking the different deployments of this application in your environment. So throughout the course of the presentation, I know that may go against how you might use those terms in your development and operations environments, but I wanted to just lay the groundwork for this is what I'll be referring to when I say addition, this is what it means. When I say version, this is what it means. When I say deployment, this is what it means. The base edition is a deployed application version without any additioning information associated with it outside of the what is essentially a null string. When you deploy just a regular application into WebSphere, in fact, most of you probably have just plenty of base editions deployed in your environment. You don't fill out any addition values for that application. When you do that, those are essentially, by default base editions of applications. If you wanted to later add a new edition to the application, those newer editions would not be the base edition. It would be that one that did not have any addition information placed into it by the user during deployment. Addition information can be set according to whatever text you would like. We allow editing version numbers or descriptive text to say, this is what your edition should look like. So you can track things. If you have build numbers, if you have a preferred means of managing your information, you can definitely do that to track which versions of the application are deployed. And if you have multiple editions, they're always going to have different names. Edition names have to be unique in the environment. Move on to the next slide, slide number 4. So what do application editionings do? Application editions allow administrators and users the ability to work with multiple versions of the same application in the same intelligent management environment at the same time. Previously, and this is the way customers have traditionally done their rollouts and traditionally done testing new versions of their application, there will be a development environment, there will be a QA environment, there will be a staging environment, and there would be a production environment, and then there will be all points in between. And that works great. And we, you know, if you're comfortable working with that environment, you should continue to do so. But why we made this presentation, and one of the big, you know, drivers for us saying that we needed to come out and present to customers this new feature, is that customers really didn't, I don't think, know about Application Edition. They didn't know that this feature was there. It's brand new in WebSphere 8.5 base, and it's existed previously in a stack product known as WebSphere Virtual Enterprise. And it's just very, very powerful to allow you to test the new versions of the same app in the same environment as the existing one. I can't count the number of times where we've all probably been called out of bed because new application, rolled out, everything looked fine in stage. It gets to production and things are bad, or it's in QA and it gets to stage and something happens and you're trying to fight a fire for the rest of the afternoon, right? Application editioning is designed so that these surprises aren't as frequent. You test the application in the environment that you're going to deploy it to before in that exact environment instead of a different environment, which may have a different set of back-end database servers. You may be talking to a different LDAP server, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Editions can be concurrently active. This means that multiple editions can be running and reachable at the same time, and administrators can configure the criteria for access to each edition. It's all well and good that you have multiple applications running at the same time, but you may not want to have all the users running on the new application. You may just want to have a very limited number of testers on a certain IP range, for example, to be working on the new edition versus the existing edition. And you can configure this. You can configure this by any number of things: client, host, header information. We provide a very, very robust way of filtering which requests you want to go to the new edition versus which request you would like to go to the base edition. And new editions can be rolled out. This allows for administrators to deploy and replace an existing base edition with a new edition while maintaining overall continuous availability of the application. So once you've done your testing, once you've validated that, yes, this edition looks good, we can go ahead and push it onto the environment, then we provide a simple rollout feature where in just a few W7 commands or a few clicks on your admin console, you can go ahead and replace the existing version of the application with the new version so you can roll out all your new changes and begin testing in that environment. Move on to slide number 5. So to deploy a new edition of an application, simply deploy the application like any other application, but ensure the application edition field when deploying this application is populated. I have been known in my own testing, when I deploy through the admin console GUI, I kind of click fast through things. There's a lot of stuff that you have to answer. But there's a key point in the field where we ask, do you want to give an application edition to this app? And you can go ahead and provide that. In the application edition field, specify your edition information. For example, you can type version 1.0 or version 1.1. The edition identifier does not have to be numeric. It can be any numbers of letters, numbers, and certain special characters. again, this allows you full flexibility on defining exactly what build you're working with. That can be very useful, especially if you're, you know, doing rapid changes and multiple updates, to know, hey, how old is this, you know, edition that we've been testing? Is it 3 days old? Is it 3 hours old? You know, what do we know? You can always define that via the edition field. And after you deploy a new edition, again, this, you're deploying a full application, so we're using that deployment term. Newly deployed editions are always deployed as inactive, and the existing base edition remains set to active. So what this means is that when you deploy a new edition in your environment, current availability of the existing base application is not affected at all. Requests coming in to the context root of the application, remember, since these applications are, you know, literally, you know, essentially the same, the context roots of them are also likely, you know, more or less going to be also be the same, right, since that's all defined inside of the WebSphere app itself. So your customers or your users aren't going to be routed to the new edition of the application. Instead, they're going to continue to go to the base one until you go through some steps in order to mark it either as concurrently active or to provide some kind of routing rule information so that you can route requests to the newly installed edition. Okay, let's go on to the next slide. I think I got some graphics here. So here's what I was referring to earlier in the admin console. You can see that here I have a simple HTTP handler application that I'm installing, and then there's a field for application edition and edition description. When you're working through the admin console GUI, this is what you'll see. These are the fields that you'll need to alter in order to deploy a new edition of an existing application into your environment. The edition description is there simply as metadata, essentially. You can put whatever information you want to in there. WebSphere does not actually use the edition description information for any of its operations. This is a display-only information that you will be able to see from, say, from the edition management console. Let's move on to slide number 7. Oh, and by the way, of course, anything that can be done in the admin console can be done also through WSIMON scripting. I know most of you probably use scripting in order to deploy your applications, and we definitely do provide edition flags and edition description flags to the admin app install WSIMON beans so that you can call them, say, from your Jython script or from your Jekyll scripts. So using application editioning. So concurrent application editions, that's where you have multiple editions running at the same time, use the Intelligent Management's on-demand router to allow requests to differentiate between editions, since the application name, the application context roots in an environment are the same. Even though the deployment targets, i.e. where you've actually deployed the application to, are different. So keep in mind here that what's going on here is when you deploy, say you have an application name and you're deploying a new edition of the application, you're not going to deploy it to the exact same cluster that your existing application is going to run in. That's not going to work, because then so you're routing to this application. How would you differentiate that, right? We don't provide the means to do that. So when you deploy a new edition, you're always deploying it to either to a new environment. The only difference would be the case of a validation edition, which I will get into later, where we actually deploy those to different environments. But for the most part, when you're manually deploying a new edition, you're going to want to do that to a new dynamic clustering environment for testing. And again, it's just because, like, if you're routing, when the ODR makes its decisions in terms of where to route requests, it's going to do so by picking a dynamic cluster to route to, or an application server to route to, and then it's going to send it that request to that to one of those servers on the context root. Where the applications match. And if you have two applications that are listening on the same context root deployed to the same virtual host on the same dynamic cluster, well, you're just there's no guarantee in terms of where you're, which application you're going to get. Whereas if you have different deployment environments, we can say, okay, well, we need to go to deployment environment B for the new edition, so make sure you route to those servers and not to these servers which have the base edition applied. And again, ODR routing rules, as I mentioned earlier, are implemented to allow filtering of some requests by given criteria, such as cookie header field or client IP address range, to route to an active edition and other requests to a base edition. So our documentation is very good on this issue in terms of actually identifying on-demand routing rules. But one thing that I work with when I implement these, and that I've encouraged customers to do so in the past with very good success, is when you're first starting out in terms of defining ODR routing rules, to do some very simple tests first. Get your feet wet. Understand how the expressions work. The first thing I always task customers to do is to, you know, try an on-demand routing rule that just keys off the current client IP address of your workstation and get that working. Then you can move on to more advanced features. One particular useful routing rule that I found is using cookie headers, especially when you're using automated test case harnesses or tools that produce load to test your environment. Those can, you know, of course, you can inject a specific cookie into those headers, into those requests. Sorry, and those cookie headers can then be keyed off of. Say, okay, every request for this cookie header, go to this new edition of the application. And what this can do is it can allow, you know, a very narrow set of requests to go to the new application edition, and it can be very useful for comparing apples to apples comparison in performance environments where everything should be the same. Say you have two dynamic clusters, each with, say, four members, and you're expecting to get the same performance on each one because you're talking to the same set of databases or the same extreme scale grid, whatever. And by using, you know, this header information, you can then, you know, shoot requests through any client IP address and get an idea as to the overall load that can be handled by the new edition. Make sure that you're not, you know, don't have a performance bottleneck somewhere in your new version. Move on to slide number 8. So edition rollout. So once an edition has been tested in an environment, then a new edition can be rolled out to replace the currently active base edition with a new edition without interruption or of application availability. So rollout is a kind of a very optional use of application editions. At no point does the final action that you want to take with editions have to be rolling it out using the edition rollout feature. Many customers, you know, are perfectly comfortable with just using editioning for testing purposes and then have their own well-defined, proven workflows that are used for deploying new versions of an application to an environment. You're welcome to do that. What I would suggest, and honestly my biggest rationale for even bringing this up as a technical exchange presentation, is that you consider using application rollout as a potential time saver and process improvement for your existing application rollout and changeover plans. I would say that especially for lower-level dev and QA environments and even staging environments, this can be a very large time saver. It can automate the process and can require much less testing and scripting that would have to be done to handle. To handle the changeover to the new version. So when you do perform a rollout using the rollout feature that we provide, you're given two choices in terms of how to actually roll the application out. So there's a group rollout feature where each member in a target cluster has the application rolled out to the existing edition, rolled out over the existing edition one group at a time. What this does is it provides application availability and especially overall capacity during the rollout. So you can think of this as we split out the groups in terms of the number of nodes that the application is deployed into that we're going to be rolling out the new application to, and we kind of divide it into buckets. Each of those buckets will be have the application replaced in it one at a time. So as, say, bucket one, the application is stopped there, the other buckets will still be running and still being able to work with the old application. After the rollout is completed on that first bucket, then application requests can then come into the new edition, but can then still also come into the old edition while, say, bucket two is active. And then you have your bucket three, and eventually all your buckets are updated to the new version, and your rollout is complete. So you can define just how many nodes that you want to roll out to at once. Let's move on to slide number 9 to discuss the other type of rollout, which is atomic. So what atomic does is it replaces one edition with another on half the clusters at a time, or half the cluster members at a time. So what this does is it's very quick. You have half your capacity at any given time. It's not as granular in terms of overall application capacity and load, but it may take much less time to complete. And I'll get into why that may take a lot of time in the next slide. But atomic rollout is a very simple and very straightforward way of doing this, where if you know that you're going to have the capacity, you know you're going to have the workload on just half capacity to handle what you've got coming into, then that's fine. You're perfectly set using atomic. Both rollout strategies have a reset strategy, which defines how the new application edition is loaded. So after we roll out the new edition over the base edition, we do have to actually commit the changes to the WebSphere JVM, the WebSphere runtime, so that the new resources are available. So with a soft reset strategy, only the application is restarted. So especially in the case where you have other dynamic, where you have cluster members, you have other applications running in those cluster members, you will not be interfering at all with the availability of those applications when you do a soft rollout. However, if you perform a hard rollout, this will actually reset the JVM. The JVMs will be fully restarted after the new application edition is rolled out. So in that case, other applications in your environment will be affected. But hard reset may be necessary if you have certain dependencies, such as native libraries and other things that require a JVM reset in order to commit to the JVM runtime for access to your application. So this is very much something that you should just take into consideration when you're deciding your reset strategy. Look at your application dependencies. You know, do you need to restart the JVM in order for all the dependencies to be brought up properly? Then you're going to have to go with a hard reset strategy. If not, then you can go with a soft reset strategy, which is, of course, less intrusive. Move on to the next slide, slide number 10. So here's what I was referring to in terms of, you know, how long it takes to actually perform a rollout. In addition to the time taken just from, you know, installing the application edition over the new version and the actual application restarts, there's an additional time period that we take when performing a rollout to provide a drainage interval to determine how long after the rollout reset strategy is executed. So that means after we perform the change in the application, how long does it take for that change to actually commit, either by restarting the application or by restarting the JVM. And what this does is it allows for requests that are currently running that server that are either in flight or requests that have affinity to that server to complete. When the cluster member has the new edition rolled out, it is marked as ineligible to receive new sessions. So when you're doing, say, a group rollout and you have servers in the first bucket that are going to be updated, then those servers are not going to receive new sessions by the on-demand router. Existing session requests may still go to that server, however. So you have a kind of a balancing act that you're going to want to do. Like if you have session replication enabled, then you know you could always just fail over to another server in your environment on another node if you have, like I say, a distributed session backing available. If not, you might want to change the drainage interval, since it's fully configurable, to something that is more suitable to ensure that users to your application won't be affected. Say 30 minutes, you know, your average customer uses your app for, say, 35 minutes, and then they're done. Well, then you might want to make that drainage interval for a half hour so that you don't experience any interruption. But again, sometimes you're doing this in a QA environment or a test or a development environment, and none of this really matters. And all you care about is just rolling it out, you know, in a reasonable amount of time. Then you just set it to a few seconds, right? You know, what will happen is that your users will then, you know, probably need to relog back in, and they'll have session data loss. But internally, you may be okay with that. Whereas if you decide to use this in a production environment, it's probably not going to be suitable unless you actually have a full maintenance window where the application is fully out. These features combined allow for seamless rollout of new application additions without any overall application outage period. Let's move on to the next slide, slide number 11. So finally, we do have another feature called validation additions. And addition and validation allows for the simple creation of a temporary identical deployment environment to test a newly installed addition. So what will happen here is you will, you know, make a deployment of an addition to the WebSphere environment, and then you will, you know, use the addition management console to create a validation to validate that addition. And what that's going to do is it's actually going to create a brand new cluster in your environment, a brand new dynamic cluster in your environment. That cluster will have two cluster members defined and running to start with, and the new addition will run in that environment. You will then define some routing rules in order to filter requests to that new addition, and then once that addition is tested, then you can roll it out to replace the older version. Now, what this does is it allows you to roll out a new addition and test a new addition without actually having to define a whole different set of dynamic clusters, specifically in reserve capacity, specifically just for this new addition. So, say you want you have a four member dynamic cluster where you're testing this, and then you want to just make a quick and dirty set of changes, you want to validate that, and you want to roll it out. Well, you can use the validation additions. You would actually deploy into the same deployment target, into that same dynamic cluster, and then you would actually use the validation addition feature to create a new this validation cluster, which then and then define some routing rules to route to this newly created cluster to test your application. Then if you decide to roll out that new addition, then the validation cluster will be deleted when you're finished. So it essentially creates a kind of a sort of a swap space of WebSphere servers for you to perform your testing with that's been deallocated once you've decided to roll out your addition. Let's move on to slide number 12. So at this point in the presentation, I'll be turning over to my colleague Christopher Hutcherson, who's going to run you through a visual guide to performing the tasks mentioned in some of the previous slides.
Thanks, Robert. Hi, this is Chris Hutcherson. So the first scenario I want to go over is your typical application addition scenario. You've got an addition that's already in your production environment, and you've got a new addition, and you want to roll that out in a way that you'll see no impact to any of your end users. So let's go to slide 13. Okay, so installation of this is pretty similar to the way you would do a regular application. So you would go to your new application install page. You would click the path for where your application resides, and then you would go to the next page. You have an option at that point to decide on either a fast or a detailed install path. And so once you make that selection, you'll see what you see in the graphic to the right, step one of selecting your installation options. Right here you want to make sure that you do specify an application edition. Otherwise, the installation process will treat this new application as just a base application. And you can also specify an addition right there below it if you choose to. Then you would continue through the install steps as you normally would, setting your settings. On to slide 14. Okay, so if you chose to go through the detailed install path, once you get to step 17, you have an option to save yourself a little bit of time if you already have an edition installed. Say, for example, here we've got edition 1 already installed. So you can clone existing work classes from already available editions. This way, if you've already got routing rules and service policies defined for an existing edition, this option will copy those to the new edition and automatically change it so that they are relevant for edition 2. So all the mentions of edition 1.0 would be edition 2.0. Okay, let's move on to slide 15. Okay, so once you get to the end of your application options, you would get to the summary page. So just double check on the edition, make sure that's set, and that the rest of your application settings are correct. And once you've verified that, click Finish. Then the last page will show the application install progress. You can see that to the right. We've got edition 2.0 installed successfully. At this point, you would want to save and synchronize your notes. On to slide 16. Okay, so now we've got our application installed here. If you go to the All Applications page, you'll see that we've got edition 1 of Plants by WebSphere. It's currently in the active state and started. We have edition 2, which is what we just installed. It's listed under the edition column there, but it's also in an inactive state right now. We can only have one active edition on a target at a time. Okay, we can move on to slide 17. Okay, so the next step would be to test and validate the new edition. So you can get to the Edition Control Center panel here through the Applications panel on the left side of the page in the admin console. So what you would do here to start off is you would click the checkbox next to Edition 2.0, and that would be the bottom row there. It's currently inactive. Click on the Validate button, and then it will take you to the validation process page that you see to the right side. So it'll create a clone version of the clusters that you already have this deployed to. So you've got cluster 1 validation, cluster 2 validation, and the edition 2.0 is set to active on those clusters. So we can move on to slide 18. Okay. So in order to test it, you can access the validation cluster servers directly if you want to test the edition. Alternatively, it's probably the route you want to take is to have users go through the on-demand router to access. So you would need to create a routing rule that would be relevant to filter so that the correct groups will access this new edition. So you would set this via the All Applications page, clicking on the Edition 2 and going to the Routing Policies tab that you see to the right. So for the example I have in the graphic, I just set up a simple rule. So if you run into the Plants by WebSphere URI there, then you would have a rule. Here I've made client host equals to just any client host that would be relevant. And if it matches, permit routing to edition 2. Otherwise, permit routing to edition 1. And move on to slide 19. Okay, so once you've finished your testing and validation, you'll want to do the rollout process. So go back to the Edition Control Center here. You can see the Edition 2 is still in validate mode. And click on the checkbox next to 2 and click on the rollout button. Once you do this, you'll be taken to a page where you will have the option to select your rollout strategy. You have the option between atomic rollout or group rollout, as Robert mentioned earlier, and your reset strategy. And you also have the option to specify your drainage interval. Default is 30 seconds. So once you've got those settings correct, you would begin the rollout process by clicking the next button. Okay, let's move on to slide 20, please. So here's the progress page on when I did it on my system here. So as you can see, it goes through. It will set Edition 2 from validate to inactive mode. And and then we will deactivate Edition 1. And we will disallow new requests from being routed to that edition. The only requests that can route to it are requests that have affinity to that application. Once those have been drained out, the application is stopped, and then the Edition 2 is started on that cluster. And as you can see, the process is repeated for the other cluster I have. Then at the bottom there, you can see that the validation clusters are deleted during the rollout process. Okay. And we can move on to slide 21. Okay, so we've got Edition 2. It's been rolled out, and it's active. So what happened, the old edition was switched to an inactive state. The routing rules were automatically updated during the process so that the ODR knows to route requests to the new edition. And you can see in the graphic to the right, the rules currently have all requests to permit to Edition 2. And also, any validation clusters that were created for the new edition, they're automatically deleted when switched from a validation state to an inactive state. Okay, move on to slide 22. Here's the second scenario that I wanted to bring up. So you might have a situation where you have multiple versions of an application that are tailored to different groups of customers. So for example, I was thinking of you know, I have an application that's tailored with minor customizations for East Coast customers and another application tailored towards West Coast customers. You can run concurrent application editions to accomplish this by utilizing routing rules to accurately route to each group to the correct edition. On to slide 23. Okay. So to do this, you would go through the process that I just described before. Install and deploy your East Coast edition to whichever clusters or servers that you want to have it to serve the requests. For this example, I chose edition 1 for East Coast users. And I created a routing rule that would match East Coast users via a certain client host. So for this example, I used eastcoast.ibm.com to permit to Plants by WebSphere edition 1. If it doesn't match it, then return an error code. Okay, let's move on to slide 24, please. Okay. And in this example, you would install and deploy your West Coast edition to whichever clusters or servers that would serve it. They must be on different targets so that both of these editions can remain active. So this, for this example, Edition 2 is meant for the West Coast users. It would create a routing rule that will match. There's a typo here in the presentation. It's supposed to be West Coast users. If client host equals westcoast.ibm.com, then permit to the PlantSpot WebSphere edition 2.0. Otherwise, we will reject with an error code. Okay, let's move on to slide 25. Okay. So one situation that you may run into, maybe a request might end up routing to a wrong edition after a rollout. In this situation, you want to make sure that the routing rules were indeed updated to send requests to the new edition. If you still notice that requests are not going to where they should, we would ask for the ODR must gather, and we would ask for this to be taken at ODR startup. We ask for it at ODR startup because there is a specific file called the target.xml. It contains configuration data for servers and applications in the cell, and it's very essential for us to diagnose routing issues. So we have an easy way of setting this via our mustgather.py script. And so I've put the string that you would utilize for this specific mustgather, the mustgather space enable space ODR would be the mustgather name. We'd ask for you to recreate the issue and note the timestamp, the application name and edition that you're trying to reach, and give us this information as well as the zip file that would be provided via the second command you see there. So the collect command will automatically go ahead and grab all of the relevant data from the relevant servers, provide it into a zip file and a location that you specify. So that's what that last parameter is. Send that to IBM for analysis. And you can disable the traces via the third command there, the disable command. And another must-gather we have is for application editioning. For that situation, you would switch ODR for app editioning, all one word. And that's one that you would want to enable when you have rollout issues. That's specifically the only time that you would really need to use that. Okay. And so we can move on to slide 26. And I will hand it back over to Robert.
Thank you, Chris. So, in summary, application editions provide a highly available means to deploy and test new artifacts and updates to an application in your environment. Application editions can be used to test new versions of an application in a staging or even in a production environment without compromising the existing running version. This permits greater resiliency in the testing workflow as the apps are tested in the exact environments using the exact same set of resources that they will be actually rolled out in. And at this point, move on. I'll turn it over to David for slide number 27.
Thank you, Chris and Robert, for a great presentation. Slide 27 has some other additional WebSphere product resources that you may find useful. Moving on to slide 28, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. At this time, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Lokesh Dadi, your line is open.
Hi, this is Lokesh Dadi. I have two questions in regards to the sizing of the environment. So when we use this application editioning feature, while getting that temporary while validating those application edition,
mm-hmm.
Is going to create the temporary clusters.
That's right.
So I definitely see that we need to look into the sizing of the OS guest, I mean, from a memory standpoint, if it, things like that. So that's true, right?
Okay. So, and I think I mentioned this, but it's worth covering again because it's this little piece in our info center that actually says what happens when you create a validation cluster. So when you create a validation dynamic cluster, what will be defined is two. So let me step back. So we create a dynamic cluster in order to provide the environment to perform this validation. A dynamic cluster isn't a traditional sort of cluster as you might know from previous WebSphere experiences, if you have that, where you define your servers beforehand and they're going to, start. Instead, a dynamic cluster is defined by which WebSphere nodes that it actually resides on. So what happens is that we define a node membership for this validation dynamic cluster. Say you have three nodes in your environment, and we'll define a dynamic cluster membership, say, based off two of those nodes. And each one of those nodes, we'll start a cluster member on. One thing to keep in mind is that we only start in a validation cluster by default two dynamic cluster member instances by default. Now, after the validation cluster is already set up, you can go into the administrative console for that and go and browse to the dynamic cluster and change how the node group membership, in terms of actually where you want the validation cluster to be running and participating on. And you can also say how many instances of servers do I want to run at maximum or minimum on each of those nodes in my validation cluster. So essentially what you are doing by this is you are defining just the size and the scope for your validation. So if you're obviously going to need to take into account that you're going to run extra JVMs to perform this validation. You are correct in that.
Okay, got it. So to that question, let's say if I have in the current environment, I have like a scopes defined, like shared libraries and a few other things that are part of the WebSphere console and also outside for those two members to up and running, a little bit of configuration around that. So does this dynamic cluster is going to leverage all that because it has to behave what the current existing servers configured for, shared libraries and WebSphere variables and assets, things like that, if I have OSGI bundles, So
okay.
Does this create as a template, a clone of that, or how does this work?
All right, so what we're referring to is validation clusters, and how is the validation cluster defined? Is there a cluster template that is used when creating the new cluster, right? So what that should do is it will create the cluster based off of essentially as a clone of the cluster where the base edition is installed. Right, so if you have things like WebSphere variables set up defined at a cluster instance, those should be copied over and replicated over as part of that server template. If they're not, certainly IBM support can help you.
Oh, okay.
That's definitely something that if you create a validation cluster and you find some settings aren't copied over and they are scoped at the cluster level to the original cluster and not being brought over, then that's something that we should be helping you with via PMR.
Okay, and I should be also able to manage these dynamic clusters for the time being when they're temporary from the job manager profile too, right? I should be able to see them, or I should be sending the commands to them.
They are essentially when they're available, they are just like any other dynamic cluster in your environment.
Okay, so then my second question is when we are running concurrent editions,
mm-hmm.
In that case, do we going to create clusters by hand or through script so that this new edition is going to run on a new targeted cluster environment?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes. So the validation feature in the validation clusters, that kind of gives you a shortcut, right? You don't actually have to go in and manually define, you know, which dynamic clusters you want things to run on. You can just, you know, deploy the new addition to the same deployment target as the existing one, right? And then you create a validation addition in order to activate that new addition, right? And I think I mentioned this in the chat.
Okay.
If you have an addition installed, you can't actually access it at all until you activate it in some way. Now, the concurrent addition is another way that we do addition activation, and that will have some dynamic cluster that is configured already to deploy the addition into that is separate from the original.
Okay. Let's say I have like 10 clusters in a cell, and I have like almost like 2 members in a cluster, or maybe 4 members in a cluster.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when I, you know, deploying the applications either in production or test creates multiple temporary dynamic clusters? Would there be any issue for the core groups, for the limitation, the number of JVMs that it can do, the heartbeats and things like that? So is that still we need to take care of that core group bridge and core group interfaces?
Those things, and I have great detail and knowledge. I can definitely speak as an expert on just how much the core group has improved since, say, version 7. In the early version 7, and even especially over 6.1, if you're familiar with that, where we had very, very, very staunch limitations as to just how many members we can have running. We are much more robust in that regard, and especially for just creating a dynamic cluster for addition testing, I would not expect there to be any kind of heartbeat problems over HA Manager.
Okay.
Unless you are literally dealing with, you know, cluster members in excess of, you know, 150, 160.
Okay. So. Thank you so much. This is exciting, and that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you.
Nirish Lal, your line is open.
Hi, this is Piki Bhutani here. I have a quick question about this. If I have this dynamic clusters getting created, automatically when I have a different edition of the code which needs to be tested. Say some users have tested in the original cluster where they have been doing a testing, and then I deploy this new edition of the code which goes on to the dynamic cluster or the cluster which gets created. Now my smoke testing is done in the dynamic cluster or the cluster which got created for the second edition. Now, I want to roll out the code which is tested from second edition to the first cluster so that now all other users can test it and use the application.
Mm-hmm.
So how can that be done?
That is the definition of our rollout process, right? So you have, I'm just going to restate it, make sure that I understand the question and the environment completely, right? Because Webster environments are always a little bit tricky, but you have an existing dynamic cluster.
Mm-hmm.
You then are deploying a new edition. That dynamic cluster is running a base edition of an application. You're then deploying a new edition,
mm-hmm.
either to a different dynamic cluster for testing, or deploying it to the same edition, to the same dynamic cluster, and then dynamic cluster target, and then are doing the validation in order to create essentially a new dynamic cluster to test on. Right. Either way, you're still creating a new dynamic. There's a different dynamic cluster where the new addition runs, no matter which process you go through. Right. You're never going to have a situation where you have the different multiple editions of the same app running on the same dynamic cluster. They're either going to be running on a validation cluster, which is, again, separate. It's cloned off the original cluster, but it's still a separate cluster. Or you're going to have concurrent application editions, which are going to be running on different dynamic clusters. Right. So after you perform your testing, then you're actually going to perform a rollout. And what that's going to do is it's going to take the new edition that you've chosen to roll out, right? Because we talk about new edition and base edition, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean that to me those are the only two editions in the environment, right? You can have, you know, 3, 4, 5, however many you please. You choose which edition you want to replace the existing base edition, and you roll that addition out. And then what will happen then is then we'll go through that group or atomic roll up process that I mentioned. We have a question in chat that I need to elaborate on further. And then that will then update the application on the dynamic cluster where the base edition is installed. And then we will perform our reset strategy to commit the application, either via restart or via JVM restart, to ensure that the new edition is running in the JVM's runtime.
Okay. So this is basically the rollout process for the application which is smoke tested in the different edition, and that is rolled out to the base edition, correct?
Yes.
That's what you said.
That's right.
So to make my different edition, or say edition 2.0, which I tested, and my smoke test users say that, okay, for making this work or for having some improvement, they ask me to configure that dynamic cluster with some configurations. So is there a way that those configurations would be replicated back to the original dynamic cluster, or I have to do that manually?
Okay, so if you're making cluster scopes changes in the WebSphere administration configuration, not application changes,
mm-hmm.
These might be resource definitions, et cetera, those kind of scoped definitions. And you are tracking those back to in the rollout process, and you're trying to do that back to the original dynamic cluster. Those changes, you will actually have to manually go back and change the original dynamic cluster. We don't provide a means to have the updated WebSphere config also brought over at that time.
Okay. Third and the last question. We do have some static files, or say a properties.jar, which we load for our applications. Like sometimes we have to say that, okay, for that application we require some flat files which need to be loaded out. Like we have a concept of properties file here.
Yeah.
So that we loaded into the class path settings.
Yeah.
And does, or to say again, when this new dynamic cluster is created, all those class path entries are also copied to the new dynamic cluster which is created, correct?
If you do a validation addition, then yes.
Okay.
We clone the cluster definition scopes, and part of those each because what's happening there is you have a properties file you set on the class path for each one of the JVMs in the dynamic cluster, right? In the original cluster. So when we go and we create this new dynamic cluster, we're cloning it off of the original ones. So the cluster members are going to have that information mirrored as part of the server definition that they're going to use to start up with. And again, if that's not being picked up, then I would highly encourage you to pick up and open up a PMR with IBM, because that means that we likely have a product defect in that area. We do clone the clusters.
Okay, that's a good thing to know. Thank you. All questions are done from my side.
Eli Adler, your line is open.
Yeah, this is Eli. So, this is a really neat feature. I'm just trying to understand it a little bit here. So, is this feature is this supposed to replace any kind of versioning software you might have? There's all kinds of versioning software out there. So does this replace it, or does it complement it, or how does this work?
Okay, so as an overall strategy, and again, I've been supporting this feature for since it's almost its conception here in Level 2 support. So I see customers use this feature, not as much as I would have liked, because I think it's really powerful and underutilized. It's a tool. You can use it if it meets your workflow. Each customer has a very almost personalized, if you will, way that they roll out and deploy their applications. What I think application edition brings to the table is a means to test your applications in the environment that you're expecting them to run in, and to do so seamlessly. You don't need other tools. All you need is your enterprise archive and your WebSphere environment. Right? You bring those two things in, and you're good to go. If customers have a preferred workflow that doesn't involve application editioning, that's great. That's fine. But it's important that if you're having problems with testing your applications in your staging environment beforehand, you're having issues with that you didn't expect. well, then maybe it's worth taking a look at doing some kind of concurrent editioning or some kind of validation, edition validation, just to, you know, quash those errors before the edition gets rolled out to a wider array of your testers, right? So I don't think we do not have an intended piece that we're trying to replace with application editioning, but it's a feature that we think that customers can use to make their workflows better if it fits in with them.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
And at this time, there are no further questions.
Thank you. We do have a few discussion points in the group chat. The first one, which I believe Robert is going to talk about, is usually the context route needs to be unique in the WAS cell. How is this taken care of with editions when you have the same context route for more than one application edition?
Okay. So this goes back to the use of the WebSphere on-demand router, which is pivotal when you are working with application editions. So what happens here is certainly if you think about it in say you have your workflow that requests come from a load balancer or come from users directly into a set of IBM HTTP servers, and then the WebSphere plugin will then route those requests from the IBM HTTP servers to our tier of on-demand routers. What will happen there is that the those requests that are being routed by IHS are routed. We match a context route, and then we then send those requests to the on-demand router. Now, the on-demand router in that location, and again, this is a pivotal point that we described in our presentation, has a set of routing rules defined on it. When we perform which checks, because all the on-demand router is, it's a proxy server. It just says, okay, I have a request that needs to go to this back-end web server. Application server. Those routing rules will help make that decision, right? So if you have one edition in cluster A and one edition in dynamic cluster B, a newer edition, then you'll have routing rules to define how you want to route to the cluster B in the new edition there. Whether it's by checking a header, just for the mere existence of a certain header, you could check for whether it's in a client IP range, whether it's from a certain host name or domain, anything. We provide a huge variety of operands to create these routing rules. And you'll create one of these routing rules, and then the ODR will then trigger that this request matches this routing rule that you have defined for this application and for this context group, and then we'll route to the correct dynamic cluster in that environment, right? So if it doesn't match a routing rule, we'll route to the base edition, say, to dynamic cluster A, and then it will choose a server in cluster A to route the request to. If it does match the routing rule, it will choose dynamic cluster B to route to, and then we'll choose a application server in dynamic cluster B.
Okay. I believe that covers it. Someone is asking if the content of chart 14 could be repeated or paraphrased. I'll bring up 14.
Hey, Chris, you want to?
Right. Yeah, sure. This is for work classes. Work classes contain the routing rules and service policies for a given application. So what this will let you do is if you already have an edition installed, you can select an application edition here. And so when you go through to install it, this process will copy that work class, the already existing work class, and it will update the rules and whatnot. So that originally they will point to edition 1.0, and this process will change all of those mentions of 1.0 to 2.0 in this example. I hope that answers your question.
Right. So one thing to keep in mind is that service policies are also, if you're not familiar with them, those are, again, another a new feature to 8.5 via the Intelligent Management Pack that's enabled by default when you install 8.5. So if you're not familiar with that term, that's perfectly normal. They have a very specialized use case when working with request workflow prioritization. So if you're not familiar with service policies and that terminology is a little confusing, I would not be too concerned about it. The important thing is the application routing rules, which are also new in 8.5, which are actually separate from the ODR routing rules as well.
Okay, thank you. And then there's a couple questions from the same person. For group rollout, how are these buckets or groups defined? And for atomic rollout, can you elaborate on half of the cluster?
Sure. All right. So when you're defining your rollout strategy, a group strategy takes a dynamic cluster, right? And so I want to go back to what I was referring to originally because it's really important to understand the difference between a dynamic cluster and a static cluster in a web server environment. So static clusters are always predefined. You always, have the definitions already created. And they are essentially defined by the collection of members. Dynamic clusters, again, can also have predefined members in them as well. But they're more defined by the nodes that they run on, right? Because what dynamic clusters allow you to do is kind of to scale vertically across the nodes as you need additional capacity for a service, which is an intelligent management feature that was added in 8.5. This whole notion of dynamic clusters didn't exist before 8.5. So when we're talking about group rollouts, so what does that mean? That means that you have a dynamic cluster defined. That dynamic cluster spans a set of nodes. When you perform these application updates, you're going to be updating the application on the node. You can't update some of the servers generally at one time or another. You're going to update the application deployed on the node itself. So what will happen during that group rollout is, by default, one node will be chosen. That's our default bucket size, this one. The process at a time. And so that node, the applications will be updated on that node, and then we'll move to the next node, and that's the bucket size. Now you can increase that size by changing the group size. Say your dynamic cluster spans 10 nodes and you want to do two at a time. Well, you specify a group size of 2, you have 5 buckets, and each update will be formed on 2 nodes at a time. Right, so 2 nodes will be updated with a new addition being rolled out to it, and then 2 more. Right, so by atomic, so this specifies essentially that only one edition of the application can serve requests during the rollout period. So what this means is that you'll stop half the servers or in the environment. And when that one half is down, you will have one edition active available to satisfy requests, right? And it will be the old edition, right? Because the first half is going to deploy the new edition on the first half of the environment, right? So you have one half of the environment stopped while it's being updated with a new edition, and one half of the environment running the old one still, the base edition. Then as that first half completes and the new edition is rolled out, then that half starts and the other half stops, right? So then we have a situation where the new edition is the only edition available because the other part of the other half of the dynamic cluster is being updated with a new edition and does not have requests that are going to be serviced to it, or new requests and new sessions that can be serviced to it, right? So by atomic, that means that you are taking you're ensuring that only one edition is available at any time. By group, you can definitely see where you say you had 6 nodes or 10 nodes or whatnot, and you had a smaller number of buckets, and you could have 2 editions of the application running at the same time.
So I don't know if that kind of answered your question. Yeah, I'm going to assume so. I didn't see anything in the chat.
I've put up slide one in the web conference, so if anybody needs to send an email to Robert and Chris, their email addresses are there.
Absolutely. I'd be more than happy to respond, and if you want a follow-up call, you know, just shoot me an email. We can set up a time. I'm more always willing to talk about all things intelligent management with customers who are interested in implementing the features in their environment.
Great. Also, we have a few minutes left. I know you saw Defang's question in the group chat.
Yes.
Do you think we have time to go into that one?
Absolutely. Okay, so Defang in the chat had made this comment. So he says, two editions of the same web app with the same web context and the same dynamic cluster, can the ODR route traffic to the correct edition via routing rules based on the edition? I did kind of cover this here in the Q&A period. But again, it comes back to that same features that I was talking about earlier, where we have one base edition deployed to one dynamic cluster, and the new edition deployed to the other dynamic cluster. The ODR will receive that request from the plugin just based off of the context root of the application and the URL of the application defined, right? And then once it gets to the ODR, then we have a routing rule that, you know, intervenes and then will ensure that the request will go to the correct dynamic cluster, even though they have the same context roots. That's a pivotal point to make, because normally you think that, okay, well, you know, same virtual host definition, same dynamic cluster, how the heck are you going to route to the same route to the right version? And if we were doing that in just the IBM HTTP server with HTTP plugin logic, that would not happen. But since we have the additional tier in the ODR tier to make that logic happen in that environment, that's where we make that decision. Okay, this request matches this routing rule, which I've defined for this edition, so that I need to send it to the new edition, or it does not, so I need to send it to the base edition.
Okay. We've got quite a bit of discussion in the group chat. Luke is asking, let me get to it. Where is this trace request flow analyzer.bat script located? Is it part of ISA?
Okay, so this is kind of a separate topic from application editioning, but it does kind of fall under troubleshooting. The WebSphere must-gathers that must-gather script that was mentioned in Chris's troubleshooting slide will produce output and logging for the ODR. And we provide a script that ships with WebSphere 8.5, and it's located in the bin directory, which is basically washome/bin, not your profile root bin, but your actually washome bin. So say, for example, on your you know, system's op WebSphere app server bin is an example of that, or user LPP WebSphere bin if you're on AIX, that's where the script is located. You will feed that script the output from the request flow analyzer's trace log that's generated. And what you'll get as a result is a very cleanly formatted output that will contain all of the requests received by the ODR while the tracing was enabled. It will include time spent in ODR processing. It will include where the request was routed to, what application it was routed to, how long it took to get a response from that backend app server. Does it have session affinity? If so, what's the clone ID? And other useful information. This script is very much buried. We don't really talk about it. It is documented in the Info Center. But if you're working with MustGather, if you want to work directly with MustGather tracing and you're not, before you contact IBM, this is the one script you should run. It's excellent.
Okay, thank you. I don't know. We have maybe a couple minutes left. Somebody's asking, does ISA 5.0 support WVE that comes with WAS 8.5?
All right. So I do not know the answer to that question off the top of my head. I have not seen if ISA 5 supports WebSphere 8.5, then yes.
you know, there is no WVE in 8.5. I mean, it's rolled into intelligent management. It is wholesale part of WebSphere. So if it's if there's an ISA release that supports 8.5, and again, I haven't checked lately to see if, you know, ISA 5 has full 8.5 support, then there should be features there to allow collection of the of information for this. Now, however, in terms of actual, like, configure tooling and built-in, I am not aware of any, like, say, front-end to this trace request flow analyzer tool that's included in ISA. That's definitely something that has been discussed, and if anyone really wants that, then they should definitely head over to DeveloperWorks and request an RFE to have this added, because I think the support for VE, for previously VE, now intelligent management features, and ISA is pretty deficient compared to some of the other components in WASP.
Okay, thank you. I'm afraid we're running out of time. If we did not get to your question, please feel free to send an email to Robert and Chris. Their email address is on slide one of the presentation. And at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable. We appreciate your participation and hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Chris and Robert, for presenting today.
Thank you, everyone, for attending.
Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation.